Brevard's home for the very best in contemporary Christian music. 91.5 FM, WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here in the Refresh radio program on 91.5 FM, today's modern worship. Thanks for choosing to spend a half hour with us as we go through the Word of God. Right now, we are looking at the fact that if we are born again, if we are children of God, then we are going to be people who follow Jesus, and we are people who love. So today, I know for the past couple of days, we had ended up in 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to shift from there for a little bit. I want to take you this morning to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, we're going to begin reading in verse number 28. First of all, I'd like to say thank you to the folks of Jits Concrete. Phone number is 321-536-5804. Jits Concrete has helped us out with numerous projects around the church. I've hired them to do small project involving some of my windows. I also had them tackle a creative project where I had something that had a slope to it about two-thirds of the way, and then it had a flat portion, and I wanted it all to be flat, and told them I honestly didn't know how they were going to pull it off, but they did because they're experts in all things concrete. And so they came out and tackled my project and did it at a very, very good value. They treat their customers well. They put in a hard day's work for a hard day's pay. And really, they've got decades of experience. They have great expertise. They have a fantastic work ethic from the preparation to the installation to the finishing to the cleanup and getting out of the way so your project can move forward. One of the interesting things that they've done through the years is our building was built back in the 1950s. And there were a couple of places where it was a little bit of a step. One of them, not too much. It was 3/4 of an inch to an inch, but it was a little bit of a problem if people had wheelchairs or walkers or scooters. And the other one was a more substantial step. And you couldn't get out of that one with a wheelchair or anything. And I said, you know, we want to make sure that this church is accessible, and I talked it over with them. I didn't tell them how to figure it out. I said, this is just what I'd like to do, and they tackled it. It looks absolutely fantastic. It functions very well. It took some of us who didn't necessarily need the slope and the ramp to a long time to adjust it. Some people had been away. They came back, and they took that step down, and there's like, when did you put that slope there? But it is very, very functional, really is helpful. And that's the type of work that it looks like it's been there forever. And, that's the type of work that they do. If you've got a concrete project coming up, they are experts in all things concrete. 321-536-5804. If they can be a blessing to you. So, I started off as in this study on the fact that followers of Jesus are to be people who love, with the commandment that Jesus gave to the disciples at the Last Supper, that by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. That's where we started. And then I migrated to 1 John chapter 4 because I wanted you to understand the why. Not just the commandment, but why there's a commandment. And the reason that if we're a follower of Jesus, that we're commanded to love is because God is love. He is the perfection of love. Love to the uttermost. And if we are going to be like him, which is the goal, okay, this might sound a little bit controversial. I want you to listen to me carefully. Heaven is not the goal. Spending time with Jesus is. A lot of people are just simply looking to make it across the finish line and not end up in a place of eternal misery. The goal is to spend eternity with the lover of my soul. So I know people right now that their life ambition as far as here on earth is to be able to retire and spend that time with their spouse. That's not a distant cousin to what our goal is as a Christian. Do I want to go to heaven? Yes. Is heaven going to be wonderful and glorious? Yes. The reason it's going to be wonderful and glorious is because of Jesus, who conquered death and every other enemy that had rebelled against God's authority. So I want to go to heaven, but more than going to heaven, I want to spend eternity with Jesus, and I want to be like him. I want to be like him here. And so a lot of times we want to see signs and wonders and great exploits, and I say amen. 1 Corinthians 13 says that if we do all of that, if we have faith but we do not have love, we've missed the mark. And so love becomes absolutely essential. It becomes foundational for everything we do, everything we say, every decision that we make is based on the fact that God loves us and we want to become like him. So Mark chapter 12, verse number 28. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" So, I told you many times on this program that I am constantly learning new things that I didn't know. Even though I've read the Bible, you know, hundreds of times, I'm still having the Holy Spirit enlarge my understanding of new passages of Scripture and things like that. Scriptures that have always been there, I just never really understood, or they never caught my attention. So as I was preparing for this program, I ran across this quote. Hold on to your seat. This one's hilarious. Okay. This is from Matthew Henry. It says, "Matthew Henry sums up the question of which is the greatest commandment. It was a question disputed among the critics in the law. Some would have the law of, get this, the law of circumcision to be the greatest commandment. Others, the law of the Sabbath. Others, the law of sacrifices. According as they severally stood affected and spent their zeal, now they would try what Christ said to this question, hoping to incense the people against him, if he should not answer according to the vulgar opinion, and if he should magnify one commandment, they would reflect on him as vilifying the rest. And so I can honestly tell you, as I sit here today, that in all of my pondering of the greatest goals of my walk with Jesus and obedience to him, there's never one time that I thought that the greatest commandment of all was circumcision. I love the Sabbath. I honor the Sabbath. I believe in the Sabbath. Never one time did I think that it was the greatest commandment. And even though I am a giver, Merit Assembly of God are givers, and the people who listen to the Refresh Radio program here are givers, even though God is a giver, I never one time thought that the law of sacrifices was the greatest of all the commandments. I don't know how you get to those conclusions. But here's what I can tell you, is when the living Word, Jesus, the Son of God, speaks and knows that he is being set up for a rhetorical trap, that when he speaks and says, this is the greatest commandment, he's not guessing. He understands. The passage that he quotes is from the passage that he quotes is from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And let me flip back there. While I'm flipping, let me remind you, tonight is our official relaunch of the My Island Youth Ministry at Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. If you are middle school or high school, we hope that we will be able to see you tonight, 6 p.m. To 7:30 p.m. And if you are not in that age group, if you would pray, because we want to make sure that we do our part to get our young people launched on a path of holiness and pleasing God rather than a life of damage and broken hearts and consequences and things like that. We want to set them on a trajectory where they can accomplish more for God than our generation has. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4 says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." That was a prayer that was repeated twice a day. So it was not groundbreaking revelation as far as the information goes. We live in a day and time where many people are trying to restructure the order, and they're trying to make the second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself, to be greater than the first commandment, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. We have to keep things in the right order. And so, as we're looking today, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and being disciples who love, I want to remind you, love is a commandment, but you need to know why you have the commandment, and it's because it's the nature of God. Sneak peek from back in 1 John. If you claim to love God, but you hate people, you hate your brother, you don't love God. There are many people around the globe who hate people, and yet they think that their heart is right with God and that their life is right with God. And the Bible clearly indicates that there's a disconnect that needs to be addressed in those people's lives. So let's look at this. It says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." Now, I want to address this from a couple of aspects, because many times there are people in relationships where one of them treats love as an emotion and the other treats love as a decision. So which one is right? And the answer is both. It is, love is something that we decide to do. It is also something that involves our emotions. It's not one or the other. It is both. In modern times, we tend to be less all in, fully motivated, 100% committed to loving. And I will tell you that what we see in this passage here is that we have got to be fully committed to being a person who loves the way that God wants us to love. I will tell you, it's always going to be gaining new ground in our life. Several years ago, there was something, you know, I'm very transparent here on the radio program, so if you were looking for someone perfect, you need to tune out and come back later, because I'm not perfect. There was something that I had the opportunity to do, and I really didn't want to do it. It was a situation that at that point in time, my wife also did not want to do this one particular act of generosity. And we both didn't want to, but yet God was challenging us to do it. And there was a moment where we both looked at one another and we said, even though we don't want to do this, God wants us to do this, and so we need to do this. It was a financial sacrifice at a time when we didn't have a lot of financial margin in our lives. But because God said to do it and to be a blessing, we did. Now, I will tell you this, that whenever you love, whenever you reach out your arms, you need to be fully aware that it causes vulnerability. You cannot love from a defensive standpoint, where you are loving yourself all of the while protecting yourself. You know, there's an old expression of a person that said, Jesus, how much do you love me? And Jesus said this much, and he stretched out his arms and he died. Whenever you love the way that God asks you to love, the people that you love may not respond back in kind, but they are not their response is not the target. Pleasing God is. So I want to encourage you, God's not opposed to us moving from a place where we're reluctant, and to that place where we embrace it. He will walk that journey with us. And you won't walk it alone, and you will not be disappointed by God. You may be disappointed by people. You won't be disappointed by God. So love is not something you're only going to be able to give a little attention to. A lifestyle of love, which is what Jesus is commanding, a lifestyle of love for God means that I am all in. I am fully committed to loving God with all my heart. I'm fully motivated. I am in with my emotions. You see, a lot of times we don't like to talk about emotions as believers. But I will tell you this, God created our emotions. So joy is not something to be afraid of. I made this statement years ago. A lot of Christians that I've known through my life looked like they've been baptized in lemon juice because they never smiled. They never seemed to have any joy in their life. And I will tell you that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy is a God-given emotion, and it should have a place in our life. And, you know, because the joy of the Lord, the joy of Him on the throne of our life, is our strength. So there is a godly spectrum on the emotional, a godly series of attributes on the spectrum of emotions. Too many times we just want to abandon emotions and let negative emotions abound that do not bring about the kingdom of God. And so I want to tell you, you need to be emotionally invested, and you need to be fully committed to loving the Lord, our God. See, it's not just about a personal relationship. We are part of the body of Christ, and we will benefit from being in relationship with other people who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and made part of the body of Christ. So whenever I show up to church, I show up intending to bring a blessing to whoever it is that I get to bless that day. But I also show up open to receiving blessings from whoever may have been. So I may hear a testimony. I may hear a story. I may hear of a witnessing opportunity that someone availed themselves of. So I made a hospital call back around the first of the year, and a lady in our congregation had been really struggling to with a recurring infection. And she just keeps saying, hey, even though this is not what I was hoping for, God has been my Savior. He's brought me through everything I've ever been, and there is nothing going to turn me away from loving Him with all of my heart. And so while she was in the hospital recovering as a patient, she was also in the hospital as an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ, and was sharing the gospel with the person in that was also a patient. I mean, I want to thank you. It is a privilege to be your pastor. I literally said that. I said, it is a privilege and an honor to be your pastor, because the road that you've had to walk over the past several years has not been an easy one. And you remain steadfast in your faith. And it's a privilege to be able to pray for you, to be able to serve with you. And I just want to encourage you that when you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your emotions, and you're fully committed, there's no turning back. The things of the world no longer hold the luster. And so if you're only partially committed, if you're not fully committed, I want to challenge you, make 2026 the year that you love the Lord with all your heart. You won't regret it. As I look back at my life, there are some regrets that I have. There are some opportunities that I missed. But of all of my regrets, there is not one regret that I have of something God asked me to do and I did it. Not one time has that ever worked out negatively for me. And I will tell you that when you love the Lord your God with all your heart, he says the measure that you use will be the measure that is measured back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That means that God has just opened up the windows of heaven and poured out all his heart upon you as well. He is the lover of your soul. He's not partially committed. He's fully committed to a covenant relationship with you. One last time before we get out of here today for this Thursday, tonight at 6 p.m., 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953 is the relaunch of Merritt Island or My Island Youth. Be in the fellowship hall. Pastor Harley will be leading that, and we are excited for what God is doing through his ministry and what he's going to be doing in young people's lives in Central Brevard County. Hopefully you can make it out for that event. If not, just pray for our young people, okay? God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.